name's Katia. I'm from a group called Members of London, and we write and illustrate books. This one is called "And There Was Me Thinking Parisian Rabbits Went At It Like Any Other Rabbits." "You are too loud for packing, Mademoiselle London," said the little Lapin show, as he sat at the bar sipping his piss-poor deli, sneaking peeks at himself in a mottled mirror behind the dusty liqueurs that no one drinks, fluffing his fur and looking over his shoulder to see what new meat had been delivered on the tourist truck. "We like our bunnies quiet," said the little Lapin show, as he nodded over to Snow White with her shiny new coat and paws crossed demurely, eyes cast down, fluttering her lashes as she turned her back on the wolves. Mademoiselle London looked at herself in the mottled mirror and saw her hair clumped with pain au chocolat and her eyes red with booze. "See," said the little Lapin show, "you stare too hard and you have your paws up like you're waiting for a big thick carrot." Mademoiselle London put her paws down, her eyes down and her hopes down as the little Lapin show left her side, taking a seat next to Snow White and smiling with his lips closed, careful to hide his wolf teeth. This is just a little intro, little Mademoiselle London intro. In London, you finish work, go to the pub, stay there drinking pints until the last order's bell, get chucked out by the bouncer, squat behind two parked cars to urinate, get some chips and fall asleep on the night bus home, wake up panicked at Finsbury Park bus station, get a dodgy minicab home with a creepy cab driver, realise you've lost your keys, and fall asleep on the doorstep to be woken up at 6 a.m. by the newspaper boy throwing your miserable neighbour's Daily Mail at your head. I've tried to have nights like that in Paris, but it just isn't done. This one is called "Don't Get Too Excited, Darling, Remember What Happened Last Time." "I stand at his gate, stare at the lump of tree chiseled into a roaring lion. Blimey, stinking rich, I think. No bugger can afford a place in spitting distance of a Notre Dame gargoyle without a money clip of sizeable proportions. And I realise I've come all over London town on myself, like I'm Eliza Doolittle about to meet with Henry Higgins. Like I'd suddenly flown my flower basket into the river, end up slathered in jewellery, singing Rain in Spain, blowing H's from Hertfordshire into a Bunsen burner. So as I skip up the dangerous marble stairs, I wonder if he could turn me into a countess. Take me to the races in a whopping great hat, make me feel like a dance all night in ballrooms like ice rinks with chandeliers like Catherine Wheels, a proper geezer who wears tuxedos to butter toast and drink champagne like Orangina. So as I reach his door and a plaque with a billion letters after his name, I think I hear Charles Trenet singing Under the Gap, and the footsteps of a man who channels Delon and Belmondo, who tiptoes like a ballerina cat in soft shoes of outrageous quality and value, with a rustle of cloth cut by nimble couture fairies and sewn by tiny Chinese children. So as I haltingly ring the bell, hearing the sound pinging off Ming vases and Sun God chime clocks, I hold my breath, I cross my fingers, I bite my tongue as the door slowly opens." This one is called "When a Girl Goes Through So Many Ones, It Gets a Bit Hard to See Who the Real One Is." There was this one, a raw spaghetti dinner, a flooded flat, a nice long slow dance, and a not so nice long conversation about his ex. There was this one, a sparkly Eiffel Tower drive, a chase up the Sacre Coeur, a holding hands at midnight, and a kiss with the tongue like a stabbing worm. There was this one, a beard and a beanie hat, a night of pastis and stolen tambourines, a riotous clash of teeth and groins, and a mad Norwegian wife who throws chairs. In between those ones, there were these ones. "This McDonald's is expensive." "Sorry about the sex questions." "She lives in Strasbourg, she will never know." And, "I want to come up now because next time I might not find you attractive." Then when I had given up, when I had checked up online what diplomas you need to become a nun in the holy order of St. Pugilista of Chastity, when I had said goodbye to all those many ones, there was this one. There was you. This one is one I wrote at Spoken Word a couple of weeks ago. It's called "You Know That Book You Wrote About Paris? Well, I'm Here Now, and It's Nothing Like You Said It Was." I wake up that old bastard Hemingway by throwing stones at his geraniums. I say, get your knickers on, come out and play with me. Today is not a good day to blow your brains out. So he lopes down his curly stairs with a shotgun in case there are tigers at the newspaper stand. I say, take me somewhere with velvet curtains round the door where there are small men in tall hats with twiddly beards who write and paint or think they do, who greet us like old friends and laugh at stories I give them about my days as a singer with a voice so flat I could make dogs bare their teeth and howl. I say, take me into a wooden nook. Tell me with your peanut breath. Tell me I was right to come here. Tell me I'm welcome. Tell me I will soon feel at home in a scary place with big grey buildings and hard grey rain. Tell me I will find a person to love me again. And Hemingway says, shut the fuck up. He says, you have been given the gift of mystery, my dear. You are a woman without reference, anonymous in this pretty city. So be whatever you want to be. You can be a teenage, 40-year-old divorced, lesbian, vegetarian, cannibal, Jewish, communist, Icelandic, samurai, love child of the Pope. Paris is your maternity ward and you have just been born. 3 months later, I wake up that old bastard Hemingway by throwing flames at his geraniums. I say, you get your face on and you come down here. You tell me why I tried my best, but I couldn't be a teenage, 40-year-old, divorced, lesbian, vegetarian, cannibal, Jewish, communist, Icelandic, samurai, love child of the Pope. You tell me why I can pretend all I want, but under the mud, I am still my same old self, same as I ever was, and I am still scared. And he pokes his head out from between his burning geraniums and says with a gappy grin, if no one knows the road you grew up in, or who your mother was, or how you like your porridge in the morning, or if you are sweet to sit next to in an office with fluorescent lighting, or how your farts smell, or why you like looking at other people's earwax, if no one knows one tiny thing about you, then you become more yourself than you ever were. And that is fucking scary. So if you'll excuse me, my dear, I have a date with a shotgun. I don't bother trying to wake up that old Hemingway anymore. I tore up the pages of his book and used it for bunting, but when I walk by his place, wearing a fresh dress sewn from my past, with a young man on my arm who I knitted myself, I look up and notice the old bastard has planted new geraniums. And this is a new poem that I wrote about my experiences of being an artist model in life drawing classes. And I realised that after reading it, that this experience here is kind of like that.
Only
you're
epic for both.
Yeah, I've got my tits out, yeah. Yeah, I've seen them up high. It's cool. You can paint me naked if you want, but only if you make me look like a Botticelli and not like Lucian Freud. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now she's here with her kit off, standing in front of the class. As they squint at her proportion and size her up with their pencils, she's wondering if she shouldn't have been so hasty when she turned down that pizza delivery job. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now she's here with her arm in an unlikely position, gritting her teeth with the effort, the cramps setting in, the sweat leaking out. She's wondering if she shouldn't have been a bit more zealous with that underarm razor. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now she's here, glimpsing on a sketch pad the full pink and red horror movie of her body without the aid of latex and spandex. She's wondering if she shouldn't have been so cavalier in cancelling her gym membership. It was a good idea at the time, a daydream of admiration, a quick fix of attention, to stand alone and say, look at me, here I am, all my bruises and dents, my splodgy slices, my prickly points, all open and open and open for you to pick apart, put back together, smudge and smear, paint over and rub out. But now she's here, with no canvas to hide behind, with no black paint to creep into. She wonders where her good idea has gone and where the hell she put her dressing gown. This is just a little outro, a Mademoiselle outro. There is a type of loneliness that sits on your chest and cracks your ribs so you can't breathe. There is a type of loneliness that fuzzes up your ears without a reach word so you can't hear. There is a type of loneliness that lodges in your throat the wrong way like a sharp cheese and onion crisp so you can't speak. There is a type of loneliness that fills up your eyes with water when Rod Stewart comes on the cafe radio and makes you think of your uncle with flares and a tartan scarf singing We Are Sailing and makes you wonder how you got so far from home.